How it's absolute. The Yavanim came, Lashkicham Torah Secha. They want us to forget Hashem's Torah. But really what that means is they want to forget the fact that Hashem chose us and gave us the Torah. And that we have a relationship with Hashem that can't be erased. Okay, so the Maharal builds it around the Gemara in Brachos that maybe some of us have learned before. The Gemara says the following, Brachos Lamed Beis and Beis in the fifth parak of Brachos. Uperish Zeb Perak Ein Omdin. The Gemara says, it's commenting on a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem. Tzion, the Jewish people say, Azavani Hashem, Hashem has abandoned me. Vahashem Shechechoni, and Hashem has forgotten me. Amri Shlakish, Amra Knesset Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're going to see how the Maharal so brilliantly, you know, threads the needle along this very fine line of what does Hashem remember, what does Hashem forget. And it's so interesting because the Yuvanim were so interested in trying to get us to forget. And we see that Hashem has this sort of this selective forgetfulness, which we're going to understand in a very deep way, the way the Maharal would have explained it 500 years ago. So says Reish Lakish, Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people say before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Adam no se isha al ishto rishona, zocher maisa rishona. Typically, when a man marries a second wife, he still remembers his first wife. And yet, ata azavani ushechechani. And you, Hashem, you have abandoned us, ushechachtani, and you've forgotten us. So Hashem says back to us, what are you talking about? Again, in the words of the Navi, hasishkach isha ula, can a woman forget her own child? Amar la Kadosh Baruch Hu, biti, my daughter, Klal Yisrael, yud beiz mazalos barasi barakia. Hashem says, it's true. I have a lot of things that I'm associated with. I mean, the Klal Yisrael's question is, Hashem, you know, you created us, but there's so many other things in the world that you're probably too busy for us. You've probably forgotten about us. Our connection with you is probably not absolute, and it's not always available to us. And Hashem says, well, hold on a second. I created 12 mazalos in the skies. Val kol mazal mazal brasi lo shloshim chayil. And for each mazal, there are 30 army officers in charge of it. Val kol chayil v'chayil brasi lo shloshim ligion. Val kol ligion v'ligion brasi lo shloshim rahatin. Val kol rahatin v'rahatin brasi lo shloshim kartin. I'm translating it, by the way, the same way that article translates it. Right? Ligion is ligion and rahatin is rahatin. I'm not sure exactly what these things are. Valkol keratin ukeratin brasi lo shloshim gistra. Valkol gistra, again, these are legions and legions and legions of heavenly hosts. Valkol gistra, gistra, talisi bo shlosh meos v'shishim v'chamisha kochavim kemini nemos achama. And dependent and suspended from all of that is 365 stars, or maybe planets, who knows, constellations corresponding to the 365 days of the solar year. And everything that's created in the heavens above, kulam lo barasi ela bishvilech. I created it for you, my daughter, Knesset Yisrael. Va'at amrat azavtani ushechachtani. And you claim that what? That I've abandoned you and I've forgotten you. Hasishkach isha ulah. Can a woman forget her own child? Amr lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klum eshkach olos. Now, ula here in the context, the pasuk means my child. But Hashem says, can I forget the olos? Can I forget the karbanos that you brought? The elim? Can I forget the rams that you brought? The pitrei rechamim? The first of the rechem that you brought? Shekrafta lefanai b'midbar? You think I can forget those things? Hashem says, I never forget. So now Klal Yisrael gets nervous and says, well, if you never forget, then maybe you never forget the things we do that are wrong. Amr lefanav. Klal Yisrael says back to Hashem, Ribono she'olam. Howil the ain shechacha lifnei chisech vodecha shema lo tishkach li maisa egal. Since you never forget, maybe you don't forget the fact that shortly after getting your Torah, we rebelled against you with the most egregious avera called the egal. So Hashem says, well, no, actually I have this selective forgetfulness. Amar gam eila tishkachna. Now eila obviously is a play, right? Again, these are the words of the Navi in Yeshaya. But Eila is a play on what Klal Yisrael said by Cheda Egel. What did they say by Cheda Egel? Eila Elohecha Yisrael. Whatever that pasuk means, whatever Cheda Egel was. But the Jewish people made an Egel, and they said, Eila Elohecha, this is Eila, right? This one, this Egel is your God, is your leader, whatever was happening there, right? they said the word Eila about the Egel. So Hashem says, no, Eila, about Eila, tishchachna. I'll forget Eila. Oh, so you do forget Hashem. Amr lefanov, ribono sha'olam. If you're so forgetful, Hashem, so then maybe I'll forget when we stood under the chuppah together at Har Sinai. Amar la, Hashem ends the conversation and says to Klai Yisrael, "V'anochi lo eshkachech." The anochi, Hashem Elokecha, the anochi that I said to you at Har Sinai, that will never be forgotten. That I don't forget. Ad kan the Gemara. Now again, think back to what we learned this past week. Right, about Anochi being that Nekudas Anochi, that stamp of absolute belief, of connection that was stamped onto the heart and soul of every Jewish person. But we have to figure this out a little bit, because how does it work? So do you forget or do you not forget Hashem? Right? Well, I forget Chayda Egal, but I don't forget Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Eile Tishkachna, but Anochi Lo Eshkachech. So how does that work? Okay, so let's try to understand. And we'll understand again the essential bond that we have with Hashem. Umasha Amar Klum Eshkach Olos Eilim Upitre Rechamim Shikraft Lefane B'Midbar. That which Hashem says, do you think I could forget the karbanos that you brought before me in the Midbar? Like, what was so significant about that? What specifically about the karbanos of the Midbar? V'lo Amar Kola Karbanos Sheikrivu Lefanov. He doesn't say, you know, he doesn't reference all the karbanos that Hashem brought, before. That were brought before Hashem throughout history. What was specific about the karbanos that we brought at that time, specifically in the Midbar? It's trying to express the fact that the Jewish people cannot deviate from Hashem. We cannot break our connection from Hashem. Why? Because we were created from Hashem in an essential way, etzem, essential, Rishona, and first. Think back to the Rashi at the beginning of Chumash. Bereshis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenik Bereshis. Right? We're the first intention of Hashem. And the first of something implies something essential. V'davar zeh ein lo siluk v'asara klal, at yashayach behem shichacha. Something which is first in your life, something which is essential in your life, something which is the fullest expression of who you are, can't be forgotten, can't be erased. So since the Midbar was the place where we first served Hashem, so the experience of the Midbar laid the foundation for our whole relationship with Hashem. Because your first attachment, that's what a karban is, to be karov. So the first offerings, the first connection to Hashem is essential, is fundamental. Because it's the start. V'chol haschala hu ikar. And every haschalah, the beginning of something, the foundation, is the essence of the thing. If you're building a building, which is a very simple mashal, right? The foundation, the yesod, is going to determine the success of the building. If the foundation is strong, the whole building will stand. If you have a beautiful vision for the 30th floor, but the foundation is faulty, so then the whole thing will crumble. So the foundation has to, in a certain sense, requires the most attention. It requires the most focused building. So the haschalah, the starting point, right, and sort of the vision from the beginning, that's the ikar. V'hu be'etzem v'lo b'mikra. And that is essential, and it's not by chance. It's not accidental. V'lidavar shu ikar v'etzem ein shechacha. And something which is essential in your life, you never forget. The things that we forget in life are the things that are not so important to us. Right? The occasional happenings that happened here, that happened there, you know, you forget them. But the moments that define your life, you never forget them. Right? Maral writes elsewhere in his farm that a person, the shichacha is found only by something that's not chashuv, something that's not important. If something's important, if something's essential, if something is ikari, if something is erasious, a starting point, so you can never forget such a thing. Ki davar she'eino ikar v'hu mikra b'lvad yesh bo shichacha. The things of your life that just, you know, kind of happen along the way, so you forget them over time. Lefishu b'mikra, because it's happenstance. Aval davar shu etzem hadavar, but something essential, ein shichachabo, that can't be forgotten. And therefore, v'lakach, amar klum eshkach etzem hadavar. So Hashem says, can I forget this essential bond that we formed in the Midbar? Mashi akrivu lefanei b'midbar, when you first became a nation, and you offered karbanos, and you chose me, and I chose you, could that ever be forgotten? Interesting that he uses the word avadim. In the edition of the Ne'er Mitzvah, the Maral that I'm using here, the Rav Hartman edition, in the footnotes he quotes from the Be'er HaGola, which is another sefer of the Maral, where he says it's just interesting. In the Be'er HaGola, he would call us, you know, that the essential bond with Hashem is the fact that we're banav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting here that he says that we're avadim be'etzem, right? An eved is not as essential a connection as one would expect the relationship between parent and child. Again, there's a lot to think about here, but there could be a concept of an eved be'etzem also. In Mitzrayim, we were avadim, but we were not essentially slaves to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim didn't own us, even though they thought they did. Being an eved Hashem is an absolute connection to Hashem. It's very interesting. The Svarim point out that eved Hashem actually is gematria banim. So to be an eved Hashem, and to be a living fulfillment of Banim Hashem Elokeichem, which by the way is the same gematria as the word Emuna, 102, right? So it's very interesting. Our Emuna, that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, solidified the fact that I'm a child of Hashem, and I'm also what he calls here an essential Eved of Hashem. It's workers, you know, like they talk in the coronavirus pandemic of 2020. There's just not essential. So as workers of Hashem, we're essential. We're Avod Be'etzem. Yeah, Ashi, what do you want to say?
Eved Hashem is 102?
I think so, no?
Abaya?
Yeah, Eved, yeah. Eved is how much? 76. And then Yud Kei Vav Kei is another 26. So that's 102. It's Gematria Muna, it's Gematria Banim, right? And it's very simple to understand why that's so. It's all one theme. Okay? And we're going to hold on to that number 102. It's going to become relevant in a few moments from now. Okay? So Hashem says, I can't forget, the same way that a mother cannot forget her child, I can't forget you. I can't forget that our starting point was together. The first karbanos that you brought before me in the Midbar, that you brought animals which are not even found in a Midbar. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, you don't find Parim and Elim. You don't find these things in a Midbar. The fact that we were able to bring these karbanos meant it had to be. It was essential. And it wasn't random. And it wasn't happenstance. Okay, let's continue with the next paragraph. So now the Maharal says, so how does it work? What is forgetting? When we talk about forgetting or not forgetting by Hashem, what does the concept even mean? What is Hashem? You know, we have terms in the Torah that, like, we don't think about enough. Like, when Hashem regrets creating, what does it mean for Hashem to regret something? What does it mean for God to change His mind? What does it mean for Hashem to forget or not forget? So the forgetfulness that we're describing here, it's not like us. It's not like human beings who forget things. Eina perish kamo ha-shichacha shu eitzel ha-adam. God doesn't forget anything. What does shichacha mean in the concept, in the context of relationship with Hashem? It's a conscious decision to disconnect from something. Right? Hasara, siluk, disconnect, pushing away. Right? Like B'nai Yisrael say, Hashem, you've chosen to abandon us. That's what shichacha means, a conscious decision to disconnect from something. But Hashem's response to us is, what are you talking about? I cannot disconnect from you. Hasishkach isha ulah? Can a woman forget her own child? Just like a mother could never forget. Can you imagine a woman forgets the fact that she carried this child inside of her for 9 months? I mean, it literally lived inside of her. And then she went through the unbelievable pain of giving birth to that child. Because of the rov hatzira v'achibor, because of the unbelievable bond, the physical human bond that the mother shared with the child, that was developed, that was nurtured inside of her, that emerged from her very body, kach ein siluk upirid li yisrael mi an Hashem yizbarach. Hashem says, you're my child, I can't forget a child. You can't forget a child. We share DNA. You were born out of me. And that is manifested by the fact that we offered karbanos in the Midbar. Again, like I mentioned a moment ago, a Midbar is not a place, a desolate Midbar is not a place where you're going to find these types of large animals that Klai Yisrael offered. What do you mean you offered parim in the Midbar? You ever find parim wandering around the Midbar? There's no such thing. V'im kol zeh hakriva, and yet somehow we did it. Because it had to happen. V'chol zeh mipnei ki etzem Yisrael heim nivram al zeh. V'i afshar shiyehu bilo zeh. It could not be otherwise. Befrat kasher haya b'tchila. Kasher lokach Hashem Yisbarach Yisrael la'am. Becoming a nation meant being close to Hashem, working with Hashem, serving before Hashem, offering before Hashem, connecting, karban, again, kirov, closeness to Hashem. Lakach b'rishona miyad shiyatzu, so therefore as soon as we came out of Mitzrayim, it had to be. Af imhayu b'midbar, even if we were in a place where usually it's not a place of connection, it's a desolate place, a midbar, but it was the perfect backdrop for the most perfect ultimate bond to be formed, Knesset Yisrael and Hashem. Hayimakriven karbanos, v'achibra hazehu mitzad etzem Yisrael. The essential bond that we share with Hashem. Now, v'yesh siluk gam kein lezeh. But at the same time, now you have to ask the hard question. So if we're so interwoven with Hashem, if we're Hashem's child, both from the mother's perspective, from the father's perspective, if we're essential avdei Hashem, if we brought karbanos representing an essential bond with Hashem, so now we have to have the courage to whisper a question that's very uncomfortable, which is what? So how could there be a chet ha'egel? How could there be? How could we cheat on our spouse? If we just married Hashem at Har Sinai, how could it be? How is it possible? If our bond is so strong and so absolute, how could there be a chet ha'egel? Mimanov shach, either we're fully in or we're out. How can you have it both ways? So the Maharal, again, like I said, he walks a very fine line. And if you understand it deeply, you'll see how much it broadens our understanding of what our connections are to Hashem and what are our averos and our moments of siluk, of hasara. The moments where, so to speak, we forget Hashem. Where the Yevanim come along. La'ashkicham torasecha, la'vira mechukei ritzonecha, like we're going to say on Hanukkah. So how does that work? How could that be? So friends, again, this is really building off what we learned last week. Let's look inside. Let's understand it deeply and well. V'yesh siluk gam kein lezeh. B'mash Yisrael nefradim mi'Hashem yisbarach al yedei ma'ise egel. We have to ask the question, if we're so connected, so how could there be this distancing that took place in the form of the egel? Shemiyad shahotzi osam mitzrayim v'nasal lam ha-torah osu ase egel. How could it be? You just took us out. We just got the Torah, and now we rebel against Hashem with Avodah Zarah, no less. Eila Elohecha Yisrael. You just heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and now you say, no, Eila Elohecha. How could it be? V'zenira sheyesh pirud v'siluk liYisrael b'davar ma'am in Hashem Yisbarach. This seems to imply that the bond is not absolute, that there can be a separation. How could that be? Because if we had a true, absolute bond to Hashem, so then lo asu ha'egel bereishis, right? You want to tell me they offered karbanos right away? They also made an egel right away. So what's the reishis? What's the foundation? What's the starting point? What's the essential expression of who we are? Kasher lokach Hashem Yisbarach es Yisrael la'am, miyad shehotzi osam mitzrayim, miyad, immediately, nasan lehem ha-Torah, and osu asa egel. V'dover zeh more bevadai ki yesh kan siluk u'pirod. It sounds like the bond is not absolute. U'kamo sheyesh lehem chibur v'kiruv el Hashem Yisbarach mitzad atzmam. Just like the bond is somehow an essential expression of our connection to Hashem, well, maybe we're also essentially connected to Avodah Zarah. Maybe we're essentially connected to doing Averas. Maybe I'm essentially connected and we're the one place. Maybe the separation is also a true expression of who we are. How do you decide that, no, the standing under the Chuppah at Har Sinai and getting the Torah and offering the Karbanos, the Olos and the Elim and the Pitrei Rechamim, that was essential. But the Cheda Egel, which was also right at our starting point, no, that was non-essential. That can be forgotten. We're cheating, it sounds like. V'zeh ki kamo sheyesh la'av chibur, v'kesher libino zelizeh, says the Maharal, think about it like this. As much as a father and a son share a certain absolute bond, there's a connection that is so deep. It's literally, they sometimes look like each other, they act like each other, they share a biological DNA, a link to each other that can never be erased. mitzad ki zehu ha'av zehu ha'ben. But at the same time, kach yesh lem pirad gam kein bitzad ma. But there's also a separation in that very same thing. In what sense? Ki ha'av u'ben hei mechulakim ba'atzman. Because as much as I see in my child Yaakov, in our son Yaakov Yedidya, I see certain things that are very true to myself and to my wife. And if we took a sampling of my blood and his blood, we would find a common bond, an absolute bond. At the same time, right, I'm sitting here in the basement learning Torah with you, and he's upstairs running around with his sister Meira. So as much as I'm one with my son, and Av and Ben are mamish, they're one and the same, they're connected no matter what, but we're also two separate entities. We're also two separate beings. I'm not my son, and my son is not me. Hashem is our father, we're the children, but we're not mamish one. So therefore, there's an essential me that exists independent of my son, or independent of my father, even though the bond is absolute. So says the Maharal, on the one hand, we're essentially connected, we're also essentially separated. Shezehu ha'av v'zeh ben. V'davar zeh nechshav pirud. Can I say it any other way? I'm not, you know, we could be in two different places. We could be involved in two different activities. There's a certain disconnect that exists as well. U'lefichach bevada yesh kan siluch u'pirud mitzad zeh. And therefore, the question becomes, so which one is more essential? Which one is more true? V'lakach amru liYisrael, and because of this possible separation that exists, the Avonim said to Klal Yisrael, Kisru al keren hashor, she'ein lechem chelek v'lokei Yisrael. The Avonim had a very strange decree. Write on the horn of an ox, on the keren hashor, that you don't have a portion, deny your connection, deny your chelek v'lokei Yisrael. Deny your connection to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. What is the Keren Hashor? What is the idea of the Keren Hashor? Ki mitzad ha'egel, the shore, which is an ox, is obviously reminiscent of what? Of Chet Egel. What the Yavanim were saying was, maybe you could have been permanently connected, but you showed through your Avera of the Egel that your bond is not absolute. Ki mitzad ha'egel, she'avdi Yisrael ha'egel, Miyad Shinasan Lamatora, the fact that yes, your starting point is Karbanos, yes, your starting point is Kabbalah Satorah, but your starting point is also rebelling against God in the most wicked way. Davarze Mora, Kiyesh Kansiluk Vafrada Be'etzem Shalhem. It proves that you're not essentially connected to Hashem like you thought you were. Now, Chaver, let's think back to last week. What did we learn in the Maharal? We learned a different piece in last week's Anochi Shir. If you remember, we had a little piece from the Maharal's Ner Mitzvah, where the Maharal explained to us, how did the Avanim enter into the Heichal? How did they have the ability to be metame kol hashmanim shebeheichal, to defile all of the oil in the Heichal? Remember what the Maharal said? He had a very interesting technique that he used in Hebrew numerology. Remember what he said? What's the gematria of Heichal? What's the gematria of Heichal?
65.
What's the gematria of Yavan?
66.
So if remember we saw that Yavan conquered the Heichal because 66 is more than 65. Interesting concept. Again, you don't find it being used so often in this Svarim, but if Maharal says it, then we know it's a Torah true concept. That if something is one more than something else in gematria, it trumps, it overpowers that idea. So Chevra, you know what's jumping out at me when we learn this piece together? What's the gematria of Egel? What's the gematria of Egel? Ayin Gimel Lamed. 103. Oy vey. Why are we nervous? Because we said Amuna is 102. Banim Atem Lashon Lekechem. Banim is 102. Eved Hashem is 102. Meaning all of the things that we thought were essential and we thought could never be taken away, maybe the Egel came and erased them. After all, Yavan is one more than Heichal, and they were able to destroy the Heichal because of that. So the Avanim, so to speak, thought that maybe the Egel came to one up, so to speak, our Amunah, our essential connection as Avdei Hashem, our essential connection as Banim LaHashem. But they were wrong. We have to figure out why they were wrong. Because if Yavan was able to be one more than Heichal, why wasn't Egel one more than Banim? The math seems to, you know, indicate that. Our science experiment seems to indicate, you know, that 103 beats 102. That seems to be a truthful principle, so we have to understand why that's not true. Val ze amar ki gam eiles ishkachna. So Hashem says back to Klal Yisrael by way of the Navi, no, the eile Elohecha Yisrael of Cheta Egel, that'll be forgotten. What does that mean? Perish. Eile hu lashon kasha. The word eile is lashon kasha, is a very strong term. Eile implies something very, very chazak. Where do we see that? We see that in Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara says, kasha onshan shel midos, yoser me onshan shel arayos. The punishment for midos is sometimes even more severe than the punishment for what? Than the punishment for immoral activity. She'eluk siv behem eile, ki tov as Hashem lokecha kol osa eile, ve'eluk siv behem el, ki as kol toavos ha'el asu anshe ha'aretz. So from the fact that it says eile by midos, and it says el by arayos, so you see that midos are more punishable than arayos, serious as arayos is. Okay, but it proves that eile is a lashon kasha. V'chol lashon eile mashma koshi, whenever you see the word eile, it implies something firm or strong, like you see in Yechezkel, ves eile ha'aretz lakach, shu lashon chazak v'koshi. El means strong, right? Havu la'Hashem b'nei eilim, like we say in that parak of Tehillim in Kabbalah Shabbos. Right? Eilim means strong ones, okay. Va'amar af al gav she'inyan hazeh. Shu chibur ha'em el pri bitna, hu inyan chazak v'kosha, she'yakan siluk upirud. Ve'im kein roi haya mitzad she'yisrael heim banav, shelo yiya siluk v'shicha l'davarzeh. Even though you'll say the bond of mother to child is very strong, but the bond to cheta egel was also very strong. Mikol makom yesh kan siluk v'asara l'davarzeh, ki ha'avu ben chalukim heim. Meaning, it's amazing. If you think about it, again, let's talk about something for a second. Why are we Jewish? We're Jewish because our mothers are Jewish, right? We believe, halacha believes, in matrilineal descent. If your mom is Jewish, you're Jewish. It doesn't matter if your father's the Pope. Prior to Kabbalah Satorah was actually the other way around. Everything went by the father. Everything went by the father. There are some sects of Judaism today that believe in patrilineal descent. We do not believe in that. Orthodox Judaism does not believe in that. If your mother is Jewish, you're Jewish. Your father determines your shevet. Your father determines if you're a Kohen, a Levi, Yisrael. But your mother determines whether or not you're a Jew. Prior to Kabbalah Satorah, everything went by the father. So it's really amazing because what we're learning here is that the father's bond to the child is very, very deep. But it's not as deep as the mother's bond. It's not as deep as the mother's bond because the father and son, right, as much as, yes, the zera, the seed that, you know, emerged from the father to impregnate the mother that eventually formed the child also came, in a sense, from the father, from the biological, you know, existence of the father, right? But the baby never lived inside of the father, not in the same way that it lived inside of the mother. And it's true, once the child is born, the child exists independent of the father and the mother. But the father is more detached from the son than the mother is. The mother literally formed this child inside of her. So in a certain sense, the Yevanim, and sort of the question of the Egel, is that if the relationship is one of father to son, then it can be broken. And that's why Hashem's response to Klal Yisrael is, could a mother forget her young? Why doesn't it say, could a father forget? The fact that we share this motherly bond, not only this fatherly bond, but this motherly bond with Hashem, is a bond that's even deeper. And that chibur, that connection, is greater than anything that happened. Yes, as serious as Cheta Egel was, the bond of mother to child, the Anochi Echa, more minutes. Aval achibur v'hatziruv sheyesh liYisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzad acher. It's true. If it's father and son, they exist independent. And maybe it can be broken. But the chibur, the connection that we share with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is more than that. V'hu chibur mitzad ha'ila atzma. Now let's learn, again, Maharal language for a minute. The bond is mitzad ha'ila. The bond is mitzad Hashem and not us. In other words, we think it's a two-way street. We chose Hashem and Hashem chose us. After all, Nasa v'nishma. We signed up. Hashem forced us to accept the Torah. Why did Hashem force us to accept the Torah? Why did Hashem make it that the relationship is sort of one-sided? Why is it that my children can look at me and say, you know, Mommy and Daddy, we didn't ask for you to create us. That's right. That's right, you didn't. We forced you into existence. I read an article a number of years ago. An Indian fellow was suing his parents. He wanted to sue his parents for creating him without consent. Imagine? Welcome to 2020, Chavra. Yeah? But you should have to pay for my whole life. Because I didn't want to. Who said I wanted to exist? I never consented to existing. So Hashem, in creating us, we could say the same thing. Hashem, you forced us to exist. And you forced us to accept your Torah. Is Hashem a bully? No, the opposite. You know why Hashem is not giving us a choice in the matter? You know why Anochi Hashem Elokecha, like we learned last week, is a statement, not an offer, not a command, not a two-way street? Because Hashem said, I'm going to force our bond to be so absolute that nothing in the world can question it. Not even a vera as significant, as real as Cheta Egel. Look how he explains it. That the chibur, that the bond should be mitzad ha'ila. You know what that means? What is ila? Maral often uses the word ila and alul. The ila is the cause, the alul is the effect. The ila is the creator, the alul is the created. So Hashem wants the bond to exist entirely from his perspective. V'achibur shuhu mitzad ha'ila, ein ledavar zeh shuhu mitzad ha'ila yesh lo shinoi. Hashem, the creator, has created a reality that is entirely dependent upon him, and it cannot change. Ki mitzad ha'ila ein shinoi, rak ha'shtanas hu mitzad ha'alol. In other words, Hashem created us with a certain intention. He wants it to be a certain way. Nothing from that perspective is ever going to change. We might change our behavior. There are moments where we're offering karbanos to God. There's moments where we're making an ego. An alul, a created being, which is by definition deficient, will be mishtana. We'll change from this to that. But from Hashem's perspective, there's literally no change. V'zem ipnei she'ein li Yisrael davar ba'atzmam ad sh'yeh hasara shayich behem. Rak Hashem yisbarach bachar bam v'davar zehu mitzad ha'ila. From Hashem's perspective, Hashem says, I chose you, and Hashem's decisions are absolute. Hashem doesn't forget. You chose Chete Egel. Hashem says, I never chose Chete Egel. You chose Chete Egel. Right? You think you chose me? No, you never chose me. I chose you. And Ani Hashem lo shanisi, like the Navi said, I'm God and I don't change. If I chose you, I didn't make a mistake. V'lakach, and therefore, Hashem says, Anochi, the Anochi of Anochi, Hashem Elokecha, Ki Hashem Yisbarach Amar Lahem Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and that was said mitzad ha'ila. That was said from Hashem's perspective. V'ze ein shechelo davar shehu mitzad ha'ila. There can be no forgetfulness from something that comes from Hashem's perspective. V'ze ki Anochi shehu mitzad shehu Yisbarach ila lahem uveprat ila mechuyeves, and Hashem chose it at the same time while demanding it. So now, it's non-negotiable. Kamosha mochiach, and this is what we learned last week. Kamosha mochiach halashon. She'amar, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher otzeisicha mi'aretz Mitzrayim. V'kvar hikshu kama chachamim. And everyone wants to understand. Ibn Ezra wants to understand. The Mefarshim on Chumash want to understand. Ki lo nizkar kan shum mitzvah. We learned last week, the Rambam counted as the first mitzvah. The Ramban, quoting the Bahag, says, how is this a mitzvah? It doesn't sound like a mitzvah. It's a statement. It's a fact. And the Mefarshim want to understand. Why is Hashem just saying it? Why is Hashem not commanding it? Ki lo nizkar kan shum mitzvah. Rak hayo lo lomar anochi Hashem lokecha asher etzisich v'etz Mitzrayim lakach eheyeh lecha elokim. Why did Hashem say, I insist, therefore treat me like your God? V'kan lo omar davar tzivar klal. Hashem didn't command anything. Hashem just said it. Why? To the point that, says the Maharal, some people got very confused by this, and they started, you know what they started to do? They started to come up with a different list of the Ten Commandments. Interesting that we translate Aseres Hadibros as Ten Commandments. Right? Part of the problem is, it doesn't sound like a command. Some of them don't sound like commands. So you know what? Maybe don't start counting from Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Maybe that's not one of them. Maybe start counting somewhere else. Put together a different list of Aseres Hadibros. And guess what, Chevra? There were very fine Jews in history who did that. V'nasnu mispar acher la'aseres hadibros. They have a different way of counting. And they took the Anochi out of the count. Like you find, as I describe in my Chibur Tiferes Yisrael, as I talk about in my Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. Aval ikur perish zeh. But the truth of the matter is that Anochi Hashem Elokecha of course counts. And with a mature understanding, you'll understand, of course, it's said as a fact. Of course, Hashem didn't want to make it dependent upon us. That was the greatest kindness Hashem ever could have done to us, by not considering our voice at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. You realize we mimic this every time at a wedding. You know why Halacha says a double ring ceremony has no place under a chuppah? Where the chassan says, Hareyat mekudeshes li. The chassan does the talking and the kala stands there quietly. She just receives the ring. You know why it's a total perversion of Torah for her to say back to the chassan, I choose you like you choose me. No. We're trying to mimic what happened at Har Sinai. We're trying to make the bond an absolute bond. The same way the Jews, our voice didn't matter at Har Sinai. Not because Hashem didn't want us to be a partner in the relationship. That sounds crazy. That sounds abusive. It was the greatest kindness. Hashem wanted to say it in a way that it was not dependent upon us, so that it could never be erased. That when Yavan comes along and says, Ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael, look, you chose the eagle. Hashem says, nah, come on. The eagle was non-essential. The Anochi Hashem Elokecha was essential. Aval ikar perish zeh. Sheim amar Anochi Hashem Elokecha eyeh lechal elokim. If Hashem would have said, I am God and therefore you should serve me and believe in me, it's dependent upon us. And Hashem didn't want to make it dependent. Mitzad ha'alul. He didn't want to make it dependent on human beings, the created, deficient human beings. That would be a tragedy. That it's up to us to choose Hashem. No. V'im kein i'efshar shi'asiluk l'zeh. Davar shuhu mitzad ha'ilah. By making it entirely dependent upon the Creator, then Hashem doesn't change. It can't be broken. Hashem demands of Himself to be our God. And that's actually not, again, not Hashem holding us hostage. That's an amazing thing. That Hashem makes it that our bond with Him is more essential than any bad choice we'll ever make. It cannot separate. So now we need to understand. So what was Nasa v'Nishma? When the Jewish people said Nasa v'Nishma, we accept, we will do, what is that? So you have to understand, what's the Nasa before Nishma? Nasa, yeah, we have to do it before we even hear it, before we even understand it. It's as if we're being forced into it. V'ilu amru, if they would have said Nishma v'Nasa, that means we want to sit down at the table, negotiate the contract, decide if we're interested, what's in it for us, nishma, let's hear it, let's process it, let's understand it, and then maybe we'll sign the dotted line. Hayalahem das atzvam. Then they're signing up with their own understanding of things. Kamo kol bria sheish la das atzvam. Like any person who makes a contractual arrangement with their understanding. V'lo hayalahem davar zeh. They said, Nasa v'nishma. Hashem, whatever you say is going to go. We don't need to read the contract. You force it upon us. And that's why Hashem put a mountain over our head. He forced it upon us. Hu ha'ila, you are the supernal cause. You're the starting point. You're the true righteous. Let everything be dependent upon your way of thinking, not our corrupted or imperfect way of thinking. V'akol hu mitzad ha'ila, v'lo mitzad atzmam. Uki'ilu einam davar ba'atzvam, as if they don't have a say in the matter. And that's why Nasa came before Nishma. That's what Nasa v'Nishma means. We don't want a say in the matter. We don't want it to be dependent upon us. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, exactly. You're worried that what? That Chet Egel is going to somehow undo our relationship? No way. Va'anochi lo eshkacheich. The Anochi will never be forgotten. Perish. Afogav sheish hasar v'siluk. From our perspective, from the human perspective, there will be moments where we seem to break the bond. And I understand, from your perspective, you see it that way. Afagav sheyesh hasar v'siluk. Yes, there will be moments of disconnect, of separation. Af sheim banim nechshavim, even though we're Hashem's children. Bikol makom mitzad ha'ila, from my perspective, from the Anochi perspective, from the statement that was entirely dependent upon me and not upon you, hu Hashem yisparach. That can't be forgotten. The fact that we're called banim is not from our perspective, it's from Hashem's perspective. And again, from Hashem's perspective, there could be no break. However, let's finish up with one final couple of words. What did the Yavanim want to do? Let's conclude with just a couple more words of the Maharal. V'nei ezbar b'davar zeh chach me'yavan. Yavan understood the sugya well. The same Yavan, again, who understood that Yavan is one more than Heichal, they thought, from their understanding, from their human understanding, again, from the perspective that allows for human beings to be players, so to speak, in understanding how things work, they said, you know, logic dictates. If 66 beats 65, then 103 beats 102. Then Egel beats Banim. And therefore the Yavanim decreed against with their Chachma, they said, Kisu al Keren Hashur, right on the horn of an axe. Interesting. Keren Hashur is Gematria 861. They talk about 861 a lot on Hanukkah. 861 is Gematria Beis HaMikdash. That's why they attacked the Beis HaMikdash. Maharal explains they weren't attacking, they didn't mind Jews. They weren't interested in destroying Jewish people. They were interested in destroying a Beis HaMikdash, a house of God. They didn't like our whole approach to godliness, our understanding of a Beis Hashem. Right? Of course, the hero of Hanukkah is who? Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Matisyahu is Gematria Beis HaMikdash, 861. So Matisyahu is 861. Beis HaMikdash is 861. Keren Hashur is 861. Kisvu al Keren Hashur, right on the horn of an axe. She'ein lachem chelek belokei Yisrael. Right, I want you to write it on the horn of an axe that you don't have a portion in the God of Israel. What's this idea? Why on, I understand the ox, why the horn? Listen to this. Ki amru mitzad shi Yisrael asu es ha'egel, miyad, immediately after leaving Mitzrayim. That's so early on in the relationship. You undermine the relationship. It's they were claiming the egel was a fundamental, foundational expression of who we are. You're a bunch of rebels. You're not really connected to Hashem. Im kein mora she'ein lahem chas v'shalom chelek b'elokei Yisrael. How could you claim your bond to Hashem is essential if you made an egel? Ki adavar shu be'etzem hu rishona. Because things you do at the beginning set the tone. And the egel was rishon. The egel was right at the beginning of our relationship. V'zeh sha'amru kisu al keren hashur. And you know why they said write it on the horn of an ox? Why didn't they say just kisu al niya, write it on a piece of paper? Because what's a keren? The keren comes from the shur itself. The keren is what? The keren, that horn that protrudes from the animal itself, is an essential part of the animal. It's, in a sense, the highest point of the animal. There's an idea, I'm not sure exactly what this means, that the horns are developed from the what? From the mosros, from the excessive parts of the brain or of the skull. In other words, it comes from the essence of a person, from the mind of a person. So the shur represents the egel. The keren hashur represents, again, the essential part emerging from the animal itself. Ratzalomer sha'asu ha'egel v'cheid zed dover atzmi lahem. It's not a mikra. Cheid ha'egel wasn't an accident. Cheid ha'egel is truly who you are, you Jews. V'lekach, and therefore ein lachem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. You undermined your connection to Hashem himself. Ve'ein lecha davar shu kasha yoser min hakeren. And more than that, says the Maharal, why write on a horn? Because a horn is hard, kasha, it's chazak, it's firm, it looks like it's something substantive, something very, very real. Ve'amru ki davar zeh yesh lehem li Yisrael mitzad koshi arpam sheyesh behem. You Jews are too stubborn to be committed singularly to God. Or the avera that you did was firm, it's chazak, it's fundamental, it's essential. Va'amar, and essentially they were saying to us that this sin defined you. Ratzalomer sha'asu ha'egel. This is the etzem of who you are, right? It wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident. The koshi arfam bavad mitzad atzam. The stiff neckedness, right? The stiff neckedness of Klal Yisrael that's described by the Torah. A stubborn nation, right? You're stubborn in your avodah zarah also. You're not so ready to give it up so quickly. Lakach egel hu mitzad atzam. Like it says, Re'isi es ha'am azeh, we're an am k'she oref, we're a stiff-necked people. So the Yavanim said to Klal Yisrael, that what? Right on the horn of an axe, chet ha'egel ruined you. But what didn't they understand? V'lo hevinu ha'tshuva al zeh sha'omar ha'kosuv, v'anochi lo eshkachech. But they didn't understand that there's something that's even more essential than an eagle. They didn't understand the Anochi Hashem Elokecha was the absolute bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Again, forced upon us from Hashem's perspective, making it not dependent upon us. Hashem's selection of Klal Yisrael is not dependent upon any action that we do. So again, I don't understand, right, how Egel doesn't beat Amuna, how Egel doesn't beat Banim. 103 beats 102, right? In the world of Greek philosophy, in the world of simple mathematics, 103 beats 102. But again, it's a Ratzon Hashem that transcends. It doesn't have to fit with our understanding. It doesn't have to fit with our behavior, or our commitment. It's an absolute selection of Klal Yisrael, a bond that's bigger than father and son, and even bigger than mother and son, mother and child. It's an absolute bond. Okay? And that's what the Yevanim tried to uproot. So it's a very nice hemshich of what we learned last week. And again, it's just a beautiful, beautiful parish on such an amazing Gemara. And it's right there in the words in the Navi Yeshaya. Right? Gam eile sishkachna, the eile alohecha Yisrael, I'll forget. Va'anochi lo ashkachich. But the anochi Hashem alokecha will never be forgotten. Okay? All right, Chav, any questions, comments, thoughts? It's a nice piece of Maharal. I recommend the Maharal's Ner Mitzvah on Chanukah. He starts off the first section, he introduces us to the whole picture of Galus, and then the second he talks more specifically about the Gemaras that talk about the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But I chose this little section of it because I think it really captures the essence of what we're celebrating on Chanukah, that absolute bond that we have with Hashem.